One more time, Christ is. One more time. It looks like life is spreading over there in New York City. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was wonderful. Oh, today it's wonderful. I think I saw a little blossoming going on. This is great. I really enjoyed learning that song. I hope you all did as well. And we're going to go right into our speaking for this afternoon. So if you'd like, just take a second, open up if you have a printed out copy, you can go to page number one. If you have a booklet or if you printed them out page by page, page number one, outline number one. And we can just open up there real quick. Make sure you have a writing utensil or a writing instrument. And then if you're using the online version, pull that up. So we want you to get ready because we don't want you to miss anything. We want to enjoy life spreading this whole time so we can take some good notes, little things that stand out to us and that our brother Dennis may encourage us to write down. So we can tune everything else out and just focus in for the next few minutes as we just enjoy getting filled a little more, enjoy life's spreading. So brother Dennis, how about we hand it over to you?
Thanks, Curtis. So good to see you all this afternoon. We have close to 400 devices on today, so that might mean we have, I don't know, maybe 450 or 480 amount of people on. So, you know, this is the largest summer school we've ever had. Last night, I think we had close to 500. This is glorious. And of course, we're covering this lesson book on God's full salvation. And that was a wonderful song. I also enjoyed it, as you all did, learning that song. That's the first time I sang it, and I really enjoyed it. God's full salvation is much more than redemption. Redemption is not the goal. Anyway, we're going to come to this first outline, and I hope to share maybe 30, 35 minutes. We'll hope we can keep it that short. The title of this outline is God's Eternal Purpose. That's the first point. And the second point is His creation of man as a three-part vessel. We're covering two lessons in the lesson book, lesson one and lesson four. We start every summer school, for those of you who, this may be your first, by the way, if it is your first summer school, even though I can't see everyone on the screen right now, raise your hand, let us know this is your first summer school of the truth. Ah, wonderful. Welcome, welcome. To me, the summer school of the truth is the highlight of our time with our young people every year, and it's the time when we get saturated with the word for 2 weeks. We're going to be saturated with the word, and that makes us very happy. Whenever we're filled with God, whenever we're filled with His word, we are the happiest people on the planet, on this earth. So we hope that you would become happier and happier day by day as you get filled with His word. We start every summer school with this matter or this phrase of God's eternal purpose. So I'd like you to underline that in your outline, God's eternal purpose, or write it down in big letters, God's eternal purpose. And the verse that we get this phrase from. These phrases are in actually Ephesians chapter 1, some in Ephesians chapter 3, but we use Genesis 1:26 as our first memory verse of every summer school of the truth. So if the brothers will pull that up on the screen, let us all read it together. I'll read it. You can read along with me. And we hope that you would memorize this verse tonight. This is your first memory verse, and it's in your packet. So let me read it to you, and you can read along with me as soon as we get it back up on the screen here. Genesis 1:26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Thank you. This is a very important verse for our summer school and even for our whole Christian life. And there are two words in this verse which I want you to underline. I want you to remember them: image and dominion. These two words, you can highlight them now, underline them, circle them in that verse or in the outline phrase, image and dominion. And I hope you would remember these verses whenever someone would ask you, what is God's eternal purpose? If you just say image and dominion, you will get 100% score right away. Image and dominion. That really is the two key verses. And let's define them a little bit. This is in letter A of Roman numeral 1. Image is to express God. So image is for expression. And the Bible uses a sun as the example. And I didn't ask the brothers to put this verse up, but I want to read to you John chapter 1, verse 18, which says, I lost it. It said, I'm going to paraphrase now, "No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." He has expressed him. He has made him known to the people who cannot see God, because God the Father is invisible. But he sent his only begotten Son. So this is the example the Bible uses. The Son is there on the earth 2,000 years ago to express the Father. And it's the same in, you know, most families. I've got a couple of pictures here. Even sometimes the Son looks like the Father, right? Now, right now, maybe the Son doesn't have, right, not the maturity of the Father, but he looks like him. There's some expression. Here's another one. I think this little young boy looks just like his father. And when he grows up, he will be more like his father, probably with some of the same mannerisms. He may choose to study the same major his father studied. But the Son expresses the Father. And any of us who are fathers in the audience, the serving ones, we can testify that my children express me. Sometimes I have to say, "I'm sorry, they express me," because I didn't train them too properly, maybe. But anyway, this is biology, actually. The Son expresses the Father. And this is very important. It means that we were created in the image of God to do what? To express him. You, even as a 11, 12-year-old young person who just got saved, now Christ lives inside of you. And if you follow him, if you obey him when he speaks something to you, you are expressing God. You're expressing him. That is the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. And the more we express him, especially corporately, this matter of God creating man, man is a corporate man in this verse. It includes not just males, obviously, includes men and women, but it really is referring to the body of Christ, regenerated man who built together, blended together to be his one expression on the earth. What a marvelous expression. And then dominion is to represent God. You might want to underline that in your outline. Dominion is to represent God, exercising God's authority. You know, God has an enemy in this universe. In his creation, he created the angels. One of the angels, the archangel Lucifer, who was given very high position in the angelic realm. One day, he became proud. And I think you all know that pride is a sin. One day, Lucifer sinned, became proud. And he said, I will exalt my throne to the Most High. He wanted to be like God and take over God's government. Well, that caused him to fall and become Satan. He was the archangel Lucifer, but now he is Satan the devil. So God wants to judge him, must judge him, but he won't judge him by himself. He wants you and I, as the body of Christ, to join with Christ to represent God in his judgment. And you'll hear more about that as the weeks go on. But I want you to understand these two words, image and dominion, very important words. Now, we're going to come to the second part of this outline, Roman numeral 2. Let me just read it to you. You can underline some important words there. God's eternal purpose is being fulfilled by dispensing God himself. Underline those three words. By dispensing God himself into man as life. So God's purpose is accomplished by life. It's not accomplished by our doing anything, by our working something out. It's accomplished by our receiving God as life. Circle the word life. This is God's life. Therefore, man was created according to God's image as a vessel. And this is the second major point in the title of the outline, a three-part vessel. So underline this word, vessel. This is a very important word, vessel. You might want to write it down in the margin of your outline and circle it, vessel. I think we all know what a vessel is. A vessel is a container. We are made as containers. We're not instruments to be used by God. We're not tools in God's hand to work something out. We are vessels to contain God as life. We are vessels. Even I hope that in your small group you can have some fellowship about this. How are we vessels? What part of us is a vessel? And what are we taking in as vessels? I think one thing we think about is food. We take in food into our physical vessel, right? Our human body. But I want you to think about the other parts of your being. Can you take in something that is not into your physical body, but you receive it? We have ears, we receive things, right? We have eyes, we see things. So a lot of entry points into our human vessel. And to illustrate this point of being made in God's image as a vessel, we often use this example of a glove. This glove is in the vessel of what? I can't hear you because they have you on mute, I guess, right? It's in the shape of, the image of, a hand. And when you see this glove, you think of a hand, right? Because this glove is made in the image of a hand. It has a thumb on the opposing on this side. It has four fingers here. It is made so that the hand could fit inside the glove. That's a good fit. That's because this is my glove. I bought it to fit my hand, right? And once this glove is filled with my hand, it can express something. Right? This is now a famous little icon on everything called a like. You like something. This means okay. It means good. Good. I'm good. You're good. Everything's fine. Right? Hi, hi. It's expressing something. So the glove is expressing some strength here. Is the glove expressing something? Actually not. My hand is expressing something. Hi, good to see you all. But it's expressing something through the glove. God wants to express his love to you, his appreciation of you. He wants to say, good job, well done. But he's expressing that through a person often, through a man who's filled with him. So this is an example of being filled. And when we are filled with God, we express God. We, you know, God is strong. God is powerful. We express him, and he's love. We can, I don't have, you know, someone here, you know, thank you. I love you. Oh, wonderful. He's expressing something, right? But sometimes we try to fill our human vessel with something other than God. I don't know. It goes in there, but it's not what it's made for. It fits in there, you know. We have a lot of things we put into our vessel, and they fit. They fit in there, but it doesn't express the right thing. I don't know, this time on the pandemic, many of us are spending a lot of times in this place right here, right? And we can put that in our vessel and watch movies all day long, and they fit in there, but it doesn't really satisfy what God created us for. And maybe we're involved with sports. I don't know. I miss baseball. It just started again. So I don't know what your favorite team is. Probably not the Cardinals, but you can put it in there and it goes in your vessel, but you're filled with something other than God. Some of us, I've seen on your Instagram, you're just in love with food and you want to show me every meal you ever eat. And you put it in there and you express it to a lot of people and they see where you're eating, they see what you're eating, and that's expressing something, but may not be expressing God. Sometimes we're filled with literature, with books, with education, and these are necessary things. All of these things are necessary. Food is necessary. Entertainment is necessary. God created us to enjoy things. But if we fill our vessel totally with them, we won't have much room for God. How about music? Music is an important thing created to worship God with. But we can be filled with all kinds of music. We can get occupied totally with music, and our vessel can be filled with something other than God. Young people, I want to let you know through this fellowship today, you were made to be filled with God. And if you are filled with God, you will be happy. You will be satisfied. You will be fulfilled. It doesn't mean you never watch something on Netflix. It doesn't mean you don't go to a sports event. It doesn't mean you don't partake of many things. Certainly we have to eat, but we don't want to be occupied with the things of the world. And now, of course, much of the world is just right here in my pocket. Too much of the world is here in my pocket. So we want to be, we were created as vessels to be filled with God. And that's what we want to be filled with. Just as a hand can be filled with a glove, we want to be filled with God. Now we have a very good verse for this matter of the vessel. Brothers, can you bring up 2 Corinthians 4:7? This is another one of your memory verses. And I hope that we can, I'm going to read it to you, and I hope you can memorize this verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. Thank you, brothers. We have a marvelous treasure, and we want to express this treasure. Last night, our brother Ricky showed us another vessel, a very common vessel. And if we fill this with iced tea or with a seltzer or a soft drink, you can see what's in the vessel because it's clear. It shines out what's in there. This is a very good example of us. The more we're filled with God, the more we get filled up with him, then we express him, we overflow him. And if I fill this all the way up to overflowing, people would see God coming out of us. And that is what God intends, that we would be filled with him to the overflowing. Pardon me for taking a little drink here from this marvelous vessel. Now, Romans 3, the last point in our outline, which has some details here, says that man is a vessel to contain God, and A says a three-part vessel. So I have another picture. I have a picture of man. Sometimes we draw a man like a stick figure with, you know, legs and hands and a head at the top. But actually, that's not so scriptural. This is a real picture of, man. Not the way sometimes I used to draw it as a young person, but this is very scriptural because man has three parts. Isn't that good? Man has three parts. You might want to draw this on your outline there. Three concentric circles. And you could draw a line to the top circle. That represents our body. And then the middle circle represents our soul. And the most inward part, the deepest part, is our human spirit. We have three marvelous parts to our human vessel: a body, a soul, and a spirit. God created you in a marvelous way. You are the peak. You are the top of God's creation. You have a body to contact this physical universe, to live on the earth. And you have a marvelous soul within, which is made up of your mind, your emotion, and your will. Not simply your brain, that's part of your physical body, but you have a mind to understand things, to ask, you know, to apprehend things, to learn things, to think about things. And you have an emotion to love things and to hate things and to consider things, you know, things that you love. And we want to love what God loves. That makes us very satisfied, very happy. But we also should hate what God hates. We should have an emotion that is one with His. But we have a very special part. No other creature on the earth has this part, and that is a human spirit. We have a spirit which is made to contact God. It's made to receive God, to fellowship with God, and to enjoy God. And then by being filled in our human spirit, we will express God with our soul. I hope that you could have some fellowship about this in your small group. What does it mean to express God in our soul? And how do we express God in our soul? Well, I don't know how much to say here. Maybe I'll say a little something, but I hope that you could have more fellowship about this in your small groups. If you love what God loves all of His children. Actually, God loves every person on the earth. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if you love the people on the earth, then you are expressing God with your love, which is part of your soul, your emotion, right? There was a time when the Lord Jesus got angry because there were money changers in the temple and they were mocking and defiling God's house. And so He overturned the tables of the money changers and cast them out. That was His emotion. He got emotional and He caused a ruckus there. Why? Because that was His Father's house. And we shouldn't, you know, try to be there making money off of people in the court of the temple. This is the Old Testament times. So His emotion was exercised to what? To express God's feeling about that thing. And we also have an emotion to express God. We have a sound mind, a wonderful mind, to think about the things of God, to consider the Word of God, consider how we should help one another, how we can care for one another, how we can serve one another. We should think about these things. And if our mind is set on the Spirit, we will experience a marvelous life and peace that is beyond understanding. Marvelous, marvelous thing. So you are created in a tremendous, marvelous way. We hope that you would appreciate how God has created you as a three-part vessel to contain Him, to be filled with Him. Now, we want to say a little bit about our human spirit at the end here. Our spirit has three functions. Sometimes we say parts, three functions. I don't have a graphic of this, but later in the summary, you probably will see this in some graphic. We have a conscience, which is, I would say, the leading part, the most important part of our spirit, which tells us and discerns whether we are doing something right or wrong. It distinguishes right or wrong. And it condemns us and it justifies us. If we've done something wrong, we feel condemned. That is your conscience. That's your spirit speaking to you. When your mother asks you, did you do your homework? And you didn't do your homework, but you call down and say, yeah, Mom, I did it. So that she'll get off your case. Well, I think at that time, your conscience will condemn you. And you won't feel too good about the way you answered your mother because you didn't tell her the truth. That's your spirit. God created you with that. And those of you who are recently saved, I think your conscience may be bothering you more in these weeks than 6 months ago before you met the Lord. Your conscience wasn't so active. That's normal. Actually, that's very healthy. When my conscience bothers me, on the one hand, I'm uncomfortable. I get exposed. On the other hand, I have to rejoice. That means God is living in my spirit, and he wants to let me know I made a boo-boo. I made a mistake. I did something wrong. So pay attention to your conscience. And I hope that you can exercise your conscience, that whenever something is bothering you, you would go to the Lord and ask the Lord, what is it, Lord? Something's troubling me. And when you get a little light and you find out maybe it's because of the way you treated your brother or sister or your friend, or your parents, that you would just confess, I'm sorry, Lord, I did that. Just admit that you did it. Confess. And then the blood will cleanse you. The Lord will forgive you. And your conscience will be clear. This is a marvelous function of our spirit. Then the second function, or another function, I don't think there's no order here, but anyway, another function is our intuition. Or 1 John calls this the anointing. You have the spirit in your human spirit. Now, God has come into your human spirit, and he lives there. And I hope that you're happy about this. He will never leave you. You are born of God. You're a child of God forever. Forever and ever, you are a child of God. Even if we offend him, and he doesn't want to talk to us, he doesn't want to answer us, we're still children of God. He still lives in us, even though you may not sense it. Because what? Our sin is a barrier, becomes a covering. So we need to confess. But anyway, my point is that you have an anointing in your spirit. You have the spirit in your human spirit. And he's always there anointing you with this marvelous compound, all-inclusive spirit. And he's speaking things to you. And the more you listen to him, I hope that you would obey that speaking. Sometimes he may be speaking to you as you're leaving your room in the morning. Did you make your bed? God is very practical. Did you make your bed? He speaks to me this way. I get up, and if my wife has left before me, she doesn't make the bed while I'm trying to get a few more, minutes of sleep. And if I'm up last, I can't leave the room without making my bed, or else my spirit will convict me, my conscience. This is actually the anointing speaking to me. Make your bed. Make your bed. And so I obey and make my bed. And what? I get more anointing, more of God imparted into me. This is God's full salvation. And then the last aspect of our spirit, which is very important to all of us, especially when we're young in the Lord, is the function of fellowship. You can fellowship with God. I hope that the Lord Jesus would be your best friend. You can tell him everything. And you should tell him everything. You should fellowship everything with him. I know, sometimes we think, I don't want to talk to him about that. He doesn't want to know. I like that little young girl. Or I like that boy. Listen, don't you think he already knows you like that person? So you're not going to surprise him by talking to him about it. It's better to talk to him about it than to think that you're going to keep it from him. That may cause more barrier between you and him. Just fellowship. Just talk to him. If that's a friend of yours and you like them, pray for them. Pray they could be saved. Preach the gospel to them. That would be wonderful. But fellowship and develop this matter of fellowship. We hope that you would spend some time with the Lord every morning. Maybe 5, 6, maybe 8, 10 minutes. You don't need to spend that much time, but start to develop this relationship. You all know, when you change schools, when you go to move to a new neighborhood, or someone moves to your neighborhood, and there's someone your age, and you get to meet them, and you get to know them, if you want to become friends with them, you have to spend some time with them. You know, and I don't know, hang out a little bit, and talk to them, find out what they like to do, what is their family like, do they have brothers and sisters? You need to get to know them. And the Lord is the same. He's a person. He's a real person. And he has his feelings about things. He has his likes and dislikes, and he'd like to tell you about them, and he'd like to learn about your things. What do you like to do? He loves to fellowship with you, and he wants to fellowship with you. So I hope that you would begin this is for our whole life long. I'm still learning to fellowship deeper with the Lord. And I've been saved for many years. I was baptized 62 years ago. So I've been trying to learn to fellowship with the Lord for a long time. And it's a marvelous journey. It's a marvelous life. The Christian life is the best life there is. And I would encourage you, get to know him. Sometimes you may be mad at him because of something that happened. You know what? It's okay to get mad at the Lord. It's okay. I heard a testimony once. A young brother was really upset with God, upset with the Lord. And he went to his bedroom and started to scream and yell at the Lord in his bed and pounded the pillow as if the pillow were God, and he was punching him out, beating him up. And he just did this for, I don't know, maybe an hour. And the end of that punching match and fighting with the Lord and yelling and blaming him for everything that happened. At the end of that time, he was weeping on his knees on the bed, praising the Lord and thanking him for being so wonderful and loving him so much and how much he loved the Lord. And he just, the whole thing just turned all the way around. How could that happen? Because he opened up in fellowship. He told the Lord he was going through, what he felt, how hurt he was, how, you know, what he was going through really hurt him. And you can do the same. It's okay. You're not going to beat up God too badly. He can take it. I think to some degree, he wants to take it. He wants you to open up everything to him so that he could pour himself out to you. He can fill you with his compassion, with his comfort. There may be some of you, even here in this summer school, that have lost a loved one to this terrible COVID-19. Or you've maybe lost a grandparent, whether it was to this pandemic or just to, they're getting old, too old, and they died and went to be with the Lord. And that's painful, to lose a loved one. Very painful. I've been through it. Both of my parents have gone to be with the Lord. I remember both of their times of passing vividly, very, very, very painful. But in those days, the Lord became my comforter. I knew he was the comforter, but until you pass through some loss or some pain, it's hard for him to become your comforter. But he must, he wants to. We have to allow him, we have to let him be our comforter. And that is a function of our human spirit. So I hope that you appreciate God creating you in his image so that you could express him with dominion, so that you can represent him. And one day you will join me and hundreds of thousands of others to cast Satan into the lake of fire forever. Hallelujah. We will exercise God's judgment over the devil. And he's created you as a wonderful vessel to contain him. So we need to practice day by day to be filled with him in our, so that we can express him through our soul. So this is lesson one, or outline one, and it's lesson one and four from your lesson book. So I'll just leave you here with this, and I hope that you can have a good time in your small groups and in your study time tomorrow. I'll pass it back to you, Curtis.
That was wonderful, Brother Dennis. Thank you. I'm just so thankful. I really appreciated what was just shared at the end, how the Comforter becomes my comforter. Just thinking of the image, you know, of the glove and the hand and how we're made in God's image. He just wants to come and fill every part. He just wants to be expressed through us. And I just love, he wants to fill us. And the only way he can come in and fill is by spending time with him. May the Lord, right, as the Comforter, as all these things, the, become my.
Amen.
As I learn to let him in more into my vessel. I think this is wonderful. And this is his purpose, made in his image, to express him, to represent him. There's no higher purpose in the universe. Even a practical way, we'll be having morning times. This morning we had our first one, and I think there were about 120 of us,
wow.
or 120, 130 of us that showed up at 9 a.m. And I think we just had a great time getting revived together. It was really sweet. Sang a little bit, had a little fellowship, and then just practiced contacting the Lord and getting filled with him. So there's
Amen.
Many opportunities, but every day at 9 a.m. we can all tune in just for a few minutes and learn to spend time and get filled. Just before we go to our groups, we'd like to just cover a few brief announcements. The first one is regarding our Zoom links. Please save your small group Zoom link. There's a little option, there's a little eye up on the left-hand part of your screen that you can copy the link and you can save it for future reference. So you may not always have to go to the website, but you can have it on hand, maybe save it on your computer. The second thing is memory verses. We're going to have a one-day delay in terms of when you can recite your memory verses. So the outlines today, one and two, you can begin to recite the verses tomorrow. And also, you can recite them with your serving ones, with your parents, with your guardians. So we will say that is the primary. Go to the ones that you're already in contact with in order to recite them, and you can begin in the small groups. So in the small groups tomorrow afternoon. And then in regards to our schedule, you can please check our updated schedule. And this is just on the website. And make sure that it has family time. I had a great time last night with Brandon and his family. That was awesome. And there's going to be family time Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And make sure that it's built into the schedule. We hope that many of us participate Monday, Wednesday, Friday, even maybe Tuesday and Thursday offline. So we don't just have to wait for those days, but especially look for those and make sure you have the right schedule. In graduation, you can visit the website and go to the resources page and click graduation 2020. And so if you're a high school senior, join us tomorrow on the help desk link, which is on the site, and at 1 p.m. for graduation fellowship. And then another quick point is please fill out the survey before attending. There's a survey online. Make sure to fill that out before attending. And then just one more brief announcement. For all the serving ones, we're going to have a prayer and fellowship time at 6 p.m. right back here on this main link. And as we're going to dismiss to small groups in a particular way so we don't crash the site again. It's awesome to see everybody cooperating, but we'll just do it real briefly. So if we could have all the 7th graders and the 12th graders, why don't you go ahead and be dismissed and everyone else stay. But the 7th and the 12th graders, you can go ahead and start going to your links. This is important that we follow this direction, or else it may take a little while for us to get to our groups. Maybe in the meantime, if anybody has their Genesis 1:26 verse, you can pull that out, and even you can begin to memorize it. Maybe you won't get to recite it, you know, until tomorrow, but you can begin to memorize it. How about let's have the eighth graders. Why don't the eighth graders go and head out? And the serving ones can go with their respective grades as well. So you can be dismissed as your grade is called, serving ones and TAs. And then how about we have the 11th graders? The 11th graders can go as well now. Hopefully the site is still going. Whoop, we're getting a lot of traffic. Good, good. All right, it's still functioning, making sure. And then how about we have the 10th graders? Go ahead. We'll dismiss the 10th graders now. I think everyone's quickly getting to your link. And as you save your link, this will make it a lot easier in the future. Give it a few more seconds. Maybe you're getting a little further on your verse memorization. And how about the best for last, the 9th graders? I'm just kidding. That's just who I'm serving this week, so of course. But how about we have everyone else? I think you can go ahead and be dismissed and find your link on pursuewiththose.org. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you back here at 7:30.